Sneha and Philip, the lady that mysteriously disappeared on September 10th, 2001, a day before the 9/11 attacks. But was it the 9/11 attacks or something much deeper?
911, what is your emergency?
What's your emergency?
What's your emergency?
What's your emergency?
Sneha and Philip was born in India on October 7, 1969, raised in Albany, New York, and attended a medical school. In 1995, she met Ron Lieberman and they started dating. She was 1 year ahead of him in her studies and so decided to let him catch up with her by spending a year travelling around Italy whilst he studied. They both graduated in 1999 and got married in May of 2000. Then moved into an apartment in Battery Park, which was located just next to the World Trade Center. She was 31 years old at the time of her disappearance. At around 11 a.m. on September 10th, 2001, Ron Lieberman left for work, whereas Sneha had the day off work and planned to clean the house. She had a 2-hour instant messaging conversation with her mum between the times of 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. She changed into different clothes and went to do some shopping at a discount department store where she often shopped. The department store was located only a couple of blocks away from their apartment. Using Ron's credit card, she bought some bedding, underwear, lingerie, a dress, and 3 pairs of shoes. When Ron came back, Sneha was still out, but he wasn't worried and went to bed. He thought she spent the night at her auntie's or with her brother, which would not be out of the ordinary. The next day, he woke up and Sneha still hadn't returned, but he still went to work though without being too worried. After his meeting at work, which was located in the Bronx, the news broke out of the plane striking the World Trade Center. He called the apartment phone straight away and there was no reply. Initially, he was worried that she may have got caught up in the attack. He hitchhiked a ride in an ambulance which was headed to the area and took 6 hours to get into Manhattan. He left at 3 p.m. and arrived at 9 p.m. Once he arrived, he used some scrubs from the ambulance to get past the police barricade to get through to his apartment. He couldn't access the front doors to his apartment as the electricity was off, so he had to spend the night at a friend's residence nearby and went back to the apartment the following morning. When he entered his apartment, there was a window which had been left open, and so dust from the attack had entered and covered a lot of the apartment. The only footprints in the apartment were those of the cats. Sneha had left behind her glasses, driver's license, passport, and all of her credit cards.
There's quite a lot to digest at the minute, okay? Mm-hmm. First of all, there's so many things that are talked about with 9/11, but this is like a really cool case about someone that disappeared. Did they disappear the night before? Did they disappear on the day of 9/11? One thing that's really interesting is shout out to that husband, right? Guy took a 6-hour journey. I mean, as you should really, right? I'm praising this, but I'm just saying it took 6 hours for him to get to from the Bronx to Manhattan, right? That is a long journey. And not only that, but he had the smarts to dress up in a medical gear because that's what would let him get through that. I was surprised at first. How do you get so close to such a big, I guess, crime scene? But on the day, maybe it was just absolute chaos.
I would imagine there's so much going on that there's probably a lot of people getting through pretty easily because the police can't. Well, there's people dying left and right. Buildings are collapsing and they just got one guy slipping in.
Yeah.
So I can imagine it was
And
too
he
hard.
Was dressed in the medical scrub. So if you saw this guy going past, you just say, oh, he's there to help people out.
Yeah. It's like when you walk into anywhere with a ladder, you can get in.
Or maybe the new thing is medical scrubs. Although I couldn't imagine getting into a cinema in medical scrubs.
Someone could be...
A ladder would work. One thing I found interesting about this, though, is the fact that the footprints that were found because of all the dust and everything from this massive explosion was... the fact that it was just the cat's footprints. Where were her footprints in the apartment?
So it kind of like, that means she has not been back to her apartment since the attack.
Yeah. Well, otherwise it would have been...
Because if all the dust is coming in, you would see her footsteps unless she has somehow managed to cover that. But I can't imagine. In the time frame, it doesn't look possible to me.
Sneha's name ended up being on the 9/11 victim list. Her family believes she was acting as a hero and ran into the area of the incident to help the victims who were burning, injured, and dying. Ron was handing out flyers which had a picture of Sneha on and tried to show it to the press, but they lost interest once he explained he hadn't talked to her since September 10th, as they only wanted actual 9/11 victims. Sneha's brother played along with the family's belief of her being a war hero, telling ABC News that he had spoken to his sister on the 11th of September, and she had apparently told him that she was helping people inside the towers. This was a lie. Her brother John had actually been fighting with Sneha and hadn't talked to her for 2 weeks. However, the lie worked, and the press ran her picture, but no leads came from it. Her family attended multiple memorials of the 9/11 victims.
Right, Chip, tell me, what do you think? Do you think the brother did the right thing here by straight up just lying? I mean, he said that he spoke to her on September 11th, which was a lie, in order to get her face and stuff out there and published so they could help try and find her. But do you think that was right to lie so blatantly, or do you think what the brother did was good, and would you do that?
I think in his position, he just wanted that picture to be run by the news, the press, the police, because they were only bothering with people who they thought were actual victims of 9/11.
Okay.
They thought, no, she's not. She died on 10th or whatever. She went missing on the 10th.
So we don't. They didn't care about her because of the 10th. So if he said that he actually spoke to her on the 11th,
yeah,
and made it seem like she was a victim of 9/11, everyone would give more of a shit.
But in the bigger picture, it doesn't really help because you kind of messes things up, and you know he's not giving the correct details, and you need the correct details.
I'm not gonna lie, it makes him look a bit sus.
It does as well, but he's realistically, he's probably just trying to help.
Yeah.
But he could be a bit of a mistake doing what he did.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see, because there's a bit of a moral thing there as well, right? It's like lying as you're, is it almost a bit disrespectful to the actual victims,
yeah,
of 9/11?
But he probably don't care in that moment.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, he wouldn't, would you?
Ron tried contacting the shops where she had purchased the items on the 10th and handed out flyers to those shops. The shoe department clerk called Ron and said she recognized Sneha as she was a regular. She told him she saw her with a friend on the 10th and described the friend as being in her early 30s, dark-skinned, and possibly Indian. The shoe department itself does not have any security cameras, but Ron spent 3 weeks looking over the security cameras placed in the department store and finally found footage of Sneha in the coat department. The footage depicted Sneha browsing alone. By 2003, the family had attended many memorials and had felt the comfort of having a community with whom to grieve. In 2003, Ron went to court and filed two petitions, one to make his wife a declared victim of a 9/11 attack, and the second petition was a victim compensation fund. The compensation package would have been around $3 to $4 million, and he claimed he intended to create a memorial fund with the money. New York law establishes that to be named a victim of the 9/11 attacks, there needs to be proof of a person's exposure to the attack. Police and officials did not believe Sneha's exposure, and her name was removed from the victims list in 2004. And in 2006, the surrogate court judge ruled that the day of her death should be the 10th of September, 2001. However, in 2008, from a 5-judge panel, 4-1 voted to declare Sneha as a victim of the attacks, which resulted in her being officially claimed as the 2,751st victim of the attacks. And although she was officially a victim, Ron couldn't claim any money as the final payments from the Victim Compensation Fund were closed in 2003. But where did Sneha really go?
So it's interesting here because she's gone missing. There is no confirmation that she has died in the 9/11 attacks or she's dead at all. But the family really want her to be listed as a victim of 9/11.
Why do you reckon that is, yeah, though?
But she could still be out there. Like, there's no...
No one's found her body.
There is.
She could be alive. She could have been kidnapped.
She isn't confirmed to be dead.
Yeah.
Why would you really want her to be listed as a 9/11 victim? Does it help you grieve? Does it help you get over it, maybe, potentially?
I think if you were listed there, it almost gives them a bit of closure, right? And I don't know whether they just want to believe their own story and that's how they like cope with this. Is because, yeah, if they can almost convince themselves that this is how it happened, it's probably a much easier thing to get over. And this idea that she was actually going in and helping people out.
A war hero.
Yeah, she essentially died a hero, right?
Yeah.
It is a lot more compelling than the fact that maybe she got caught up with the wrong people and she ended up going missing the night before and she's been trafficked somewhere. And you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's a really weird one. But we should listen to a few more of the theories.
One of the initial theories was that Sneha ran away to start a new life. However, she was very close with her mother and she seemed to be very happy. When doing a check into her recent history, there was nothing that suggested she was making plans to run away, and her computer had been thoroughly searched and nothing was found. Also, she left behind her passport, driver's license, and credit cards. All things she probably would have needed if she was planning to run away.
I'm not too sure about this theory, Chip. I think it's a bit of a weak one. the case is that her life was really kind of just falling apart at the time, and she wanted to completely run away, so she used 9/11 as that sort of like an opportunity. But again, it, you know, she left passport, driver's license, credit cards, all these things that you would kind of need to run away. And not only that, but if we remember, the cat's footsteps were the only one in the dust. So if this happened, if she wanted to do this, she's saw this 9/11 thing happen, which, by the way, that would be a really weird thing to be the first thing to think of. Like, wow, right next to me, a plane has just hit straight into a tower. I can use this as my chance to run away. Like, it just, I think you would be more concerned about your actual own life.
Unless she really did just think, wow, I could go and they'll probably think I died in this.
That would be some serious...
That would be some messed up thinking. But I mean, the way that things have happened.
But again, it's only the cat footprints in there. Yeah. If they really wanted to run away, surely she would have gone back into her apartment for at least something, right?
A trace, you know, some kind of plastic trace, like her using her credit cards, anything. There's got to be some digital footprint left behind.
Yeah.
And she just, if she didn't go back into that apartment, which means she didn't get any of her stuff. You know, we're going to speak about this in a bit. She was staying at other people's houses. Potential that she had a lot of her other stuff at other people's
elsewhere.
Houses.
Maybe, because she couldn't have known 9/11 was happening. Otherwise, we go into a deeper conspiracy and say that Sneha is the reason 9/11 happened. And we're not going into that. Let's go on to the next theory.
The next theory claims that Sneha died in the 9/11 attacks. There was footage found at 8:43 a.m. of a woman who appeared to look like Sneha. She waited for the lift for a couple of minutes and then abruptly left. The timestamp, 8:43 a.m, was 3 minutes before the plane crashed into the North Tower, and so maybe she ran out because of the commotion which was happening outside. The person on the tape seemed to be wearing the same outfit Sneha had worn the previous day. Police could not confirm if it was Sneha in the footage. Plus, there was no physical evidence to suggest she was killed in the attack. At least 60% of the victims from the World Trade Center had been identified by 2019 through DNA testing of remains or by identifying jewelry or other belongings found at the scene. The family are still hoping that her jewelry will help identify her. She always wore her wedding band, engagement ring, diamond earrings, and a minu, which is a pendant with a cross, a symbol of Christianity.
For me, Chip, this theory is pretty strong, right? She's died in 9/11. It's a bit annoying that we can't tell that it's actually her. The idea that she's maybe gone in there, the attacks happened, and then from there she's gone out. She's tried to help the people that involved in the attack, and then she just got caught up in it and died. There's still a lot of victims that haven't been identified.
Yeah, I mean, 60% of the victims have been identified. That leaves a lot more.
At least 40%,
which is a lot. You know, over 3,000 people died in the attacks.
Yeah,
she could just be one of those victims that hasn't been identified.
Yeah,
there's a really high chance that that is just the case. And all the details before are just little weird coincidences and strange things that happened.
To make it seem like there was actually something deeper.
When really something bigger might not be at play.
Yeah.
But maybe there is.
The next theory suggests foul play. When the police were looking into Sneha's life, they found signs of a double life. It all started in spring 2001, when her contract as a medical intern wasn't going to renew due to tardiness and alcohol-related issues. After this news broke out, on an intern drinks night out, she reported to the police one of the interns groping her. But rather than believing her, the Manhattan DA's office put her into jail for false reporting. The prosecutor offered to drop the charges if she withdrew her allegation. However, she refused. Following that, she failed to comply with the strict guidelines at her new job and failed to meet her substance abuse counselor, and so she was suspended, hence why she was not at work on the 10th of September. Apparently, Ron and Sneha were also having marital problems, and she would meet people at bars and stay at their houses. She would also frequent in lesbian bars. When this came out, her family claimed she hung out at lesbian bars because she felt unsafe around men after the groping incident. Ron denies Sneha being bisexual and doesn't believe she would cheat on him. Following all these points, the police started to consider Sneha meeting up with the wrong people or crowd, which could have ended in her being killed. The family did not want to accept the police's findings, and the court ruled Sneha as a victim. Only the police believed this evidence, but why would the police lie about the evidence they found?
Well, I mean, it's safe to say that Sneha's life was in a pretty bad way on the 10th of September.
It was, yeah.
She was drinking all the time. That's how she ended up getting suspended from her job, because she was constantly late to her job. And something like that for a medical student, I feel would be kind of a bit, off.
That's going to potentially mess up your entire career or put a massive halt to it, because she was a medical intern, so she was on the up.
Yeah, she was. There was also signs of substance abuse, and then not only that, but we talked about it already. Was there marital issues? Was there things going on both of their marriage that wasn't going to plan? So did she get caught up with the wrong people? She said that obviously they were going out. There was just a lot of stuff happening in her life where it was in a bad way. But then I think, like, is it all just like a coincidence? Is that enough right there for there to be some serious foul play? Talk about a double life. Was it really a double life, or was it just someone going through a bad time? Do you know what I mean?
It does sound like she was going through a real tough time. She's staying at friends' houses and stuff, which you could do if you're going through marital problems. You don't want to be at home with your husband if you're arguing constantly. Yeah. You'd go stay at friends. You might go out drinking constantly because you're trying to forget. Just that is life for a lot of people, to be honest.
And not gonna lie, if you are involved in substance abuse or drinking a lot of alcohol, then you probably tend to get caught up with the wrong people, right? Mm. So is there the other side to this where you just think something actually happened to her on the 10th where she did get caught up with the wrong people, and it actually has nothing to do with September 11th?
That was just unfortunate timing, which has made it a lot more difficult
to figure out what's happening
to solve this case.
Yeah.
The final theory is that she was killed by her husband, Ron. Apparently, witnesses claimed that they saw a fight happen between Sneha and Ron in the courthouse on September 10th when she was there to plead not guilty to the false complaint charge. Another discovery was that although Ron said he spent the night alone in the apartment on the night of the 10th waiting for Sneha, he received a phone call on his mobile from their home phone at around 4 a.m. It leads into the theory that Ron potentially went out to look for Sneha at the night, and then Sneha returned and called Ron. Maybe something had happened and he had killed her, tied her up, and hid the body somewhere. The police, however, don't believe in Ron's involvement. Plus, in the aftermath, he took a month off work to look for her, hired a private investigator, and eventually he ended up moving in with Sneha's family.
So the theory is, you know, he's killed her for some reason, but if we're looking at it, there really isn't much of a motive here for Ron to do anything.
Yeah, the one thing they're going off is the fact that Ron and her had like an argument in the courthouse on September 10th. But if they were already having these sort of like these marriage problems, then it probably wasn't out of the ordinary. It wasn't, you know, it doesn't necessarily say it was like a super violent or like very heated argument. You know, people bicker and have arguments like that all the time.
Yeah, especially if it's in a courthouse because she's pleading not guilty to...
Yeah.
You know, saying some guy groped her. Like.
And so, and then not only that, so what are they saying? That 9/11 was the perfect opportunity for him to then go and hide a body or things like that. But if we remember, the guy absolutely trekked it all the way back in to Manhattan on the day he then moved in with her family. Like, would you go through all of that unless, right? And this has just come to me right now, Chip. I just had a moment here.
A moment, a light bulb moment.
Did he kill her on the 10th or do whatever or take her away on the 10th all the way out, right, to the Bronx, get rid of her there, and then use 9/11 and gone, oh, I'll make it seem like I was heading in to come and see my wife.
That kind of...
Coming in on my wife, going in there, there's no footprints of her in the apartment because guess what? She didn't go around.
Yeah, she was in the Bronx
being buried, and he's come back and used 9/11 as his cover-up.
Yeah. Perfect timing for him. He didn't know 9/11 was going to happen, but he's like, oh, wow, like, craziest things just happened. I can use this.
Yeah, and there was talks about, you know, was she cheating in the relationship? Was this the final straw? I don't know. That is actually...
That's a good thing.
At first, I was there like, no way did Ron do this. But there was also maybe, at the time, he probably, you know, he definitely didn't know about it. But, you know, that compensation fund that we spoke about? Was that then a motive to have him even her noted down as a 9/11 victim? Was he ever going to get a bit of a compensation?
He said he was going to use it as a memorial fund, but you know, a lot of people say a lot
cover
of things.
Up.
Yeah,
cover up.
He could have spent $2 million on the fund and kept $2 million. Like,
there might be a bit of information somewhere that sort of dispels that, because like the guy did come in, jumped in an ambulance to get back. Like, that's quite a lot of effort. Surely you would maybe just get in a normal car and just make your way there. You wouldn't see the need to get in an ambulance and stuff. That seems all a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, trying to get back quicker. Ambulance gets through the crowd of cars quicker.
So I just don't know if you would then just be slower to get there, it actually works in your favor. I feel bad sticking on the husband here off of like a completely made up thing on the top of my head.
Well, it's a theory, my friend. That's what it is.
Can we not see more of this stuff? There has to be more to it, unless the only thing I can think of is that it was somehow all damaged in 9/11.
Yeah, attacks potentially.
But I feel that's a bit like, I mean, they do have footage, or at least some footage. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too sure. I would, I'd like to know where that stuff went. Mm. Latest update is, yes, the family still want official recognition of her being a victim of 9/11. Look, the odds are small, but they plan to appeal the judge's death certificate decision. I can understand from the family's point of view why they would want this, but if I'm perfectly honest with you, there's just not enough evidence. I think, like, look, she went missing on the 10th. 9/11 happened, obviously, the day after. There's nothing to say that she did die from 9/11, right?
No, she could still be out there. I kind of have a little thing in my head thinking she has just smashed it and completely got away and just left her life behind because it was falling apart. This was a chance.
Look, guys, we'd love to know what you all think. As always, in the comments, let us know, what is your theory here? This is obviously a really tough one for the family because they want closure. They feel like their closure comes in the form of being a recognized 9/11 victim. But is there enough to justify that? I don't know. You guys let us know down in the comments. Chip, tell them what they have to do.
Make sure to subscribe, turn on notifications, follow us on Spotify as well, because you can listen to the podcast over there. And we'll be back next Monday, 6 p.m. with another Unsolved Mystery.
Woo!